Good to see you guys. Good to be together. Good to worship with you. My name is Rob Sweet, and I have the joy of being with Lloyd Shadrach. We're together this morning, which if you've been around fellowship,
No.
I think they're clapping for you, Lloyd.
No. It's guilt clapping because they clap for other people when we have guest speakers.
That's right. They clap for Robbie Painter, and they don't clap for us. That's so funny. It is funny, though, because we don't get to be up here that often together, and we really enjoy it. At least I don't know about you.
I do.
Okay. I put him on the spot. But let me get to first things first. If you're a guest, thank you for being with us. Mm-hmm. And the reason that we're making a big deal of being together, we have two campuses at Fellowship here and at Franklin. We're going to be talking about that a lot today, actually. We're one church in two locations, and so we have two primary teachers. And when one of us is here, the other is typically at Franklin. We do live teaching at both, and then we'll switch. We're in the same series together, so we've been going through Romans verse by verse, excited about what God's been doing through that book, of course, coming out off of Easter last week. So there's a lot of wonderful things that God's been up to. But I just want to say, if you're new, thank you for coming. We know it's not easy to get to know a new church. We want to make it as easy as we can for you. So we have a connect point set up. Just people look for the big blue buttons that are out there in that back. As soon as you go through those doors, they'd love to greet you. We have a bag of just a few things that'll kind of help you get to know our church. We'd love to put that in your hands. There's a website you can go to learn more. And then finally, the first Sunday of every month, there's a class called Intro to Fellowship. And it's just the first step to take to get to know us as a church when you're ready to do that. So thanks for that.
I also want to thank you for your generosity and giving, and we thank God week by week for his provision. He owns it all. He entrusts it all to us, and we return a portion back to him. We do that in these ways here at Fellowship, and as you know, it moves our mission beyond our walls to our community and around the world. So thank you for your generosity and faithful stewardship. I've got one announcement, if you will, something coming up in 2 days. So Tuesday night, an invitation to the entire body around our cultural engagement thoughts, you know, as we engage our culture, this around sexuality, and in particular, this topic, and with Sam Alberry, will be around same-sex attraction. Sam's a pastor in Nashville. Delighted to have him. Rob and I and some others sat down with him a week and a half ago, and we just came out of the room with hearts aligned around the gospel and what the Bible says about these things. Here's Sam, a man with same-sex attraction, who will be addressing us and speaking from a biblical perspective, and we just don't want anybody to miss it. And when we talk about engaging cultural issues, we can only do so much on a Sunday in 35 minutes. And so this is the kind of things that we're trying to bring to our body to equip us in these areas. And I hope all of you are able to make this.
And I just add, if you missed the message that Lloyd did several weeks ago from Romans chapter 1 on same-sex sexuality, I can't encourage you enough to go back and listen to it. Maybe even in preparation for Tuesday, yeah. Because what we're trying to do is live out an Orthodox Christian biblical belief about these things and do it in a way that's engaging in a culture that just thinks that's an awful way to live. So Sam's going to help us in this conversation, but really excited to have him with us. Okay, let me kind of get into why we're here this morning. We want to start by just sharing what God's been doing in our hearts as we've walked through Romans. And then we want to talk about what God is doing in our church more broadly, even as we look to the future. So we're a year and a half right now into a 3-year campaign, and we're at the halfway point. So we want to give you an update, and we want to share where we're at, some exciting things, some challenging things that we faced. I know if you're visiting, you're thinking, I can't believe we happened to come Money Sunday.
Oh,
it's
boy.
On a lot more than that. And honestly, you all, we don't do this often at all. But when you think about a church, we've now been almost 30 years. It's time that we're investing in the next generation here, which there's a lot of great things to talk about.
So we're stepping out, just so you know, we step out of Romans today and
just
we step back into Romans, you know, next week. Being together, I told Rob, I said, you know, before we get into the follow campaign, I said, let's just take a moment and share what God's been stirring in us as teachers. You know, we're not, Rob and I always tell you, we're just fellow pilgrims. So we happen to be those called to teach, but I'm learning as I teach, and I'm trying to walk with you in faith. And so when I think about this Roman series, it's actually built upon the Third Way series. So I just want to reach back for a moment to the fall. We did a series in the fall called Third Way because the elders encouraged us and said we need to begin to engage these cultural issues around sexuality, divisiveness, deconstruction, racism, justice, et cetera. And so we said, well, there's a certain way we want to move into the culture, and we defined it around third way, right? Out of 1 John, we said, walk in the light, right? That let the light shine in our own hearts, puts us in a posture of humility, love without fear. Why? Because we're unconditional love, so we need not fear love, like loving too much, or, you know, let's love without fear. Hold fast to the truth, because the revelation of God is far beyond the reason of man. And it's the revelation of God that guides and informs and directs our steps. And we do all this because we know faithful is he who calls us. He will get us home. He will bring us through. And so we step into Romans, where, you know, highly doctrinal book. Oh, but we step in with this posture of the third way. That's just a big deal to us. And yes, we get into doctrinal issues, and we get into cultural issues in Romans. We're not out of Romans 1, and we're in it deep, and then we'll be in it all the way through. And the one thing that stood out for me, Rob, has been, and this has been up here, so you might have seen this, but, you know, remember when we first talked about our unrighteousness? Remember, the whole section of Romans 1-4 is righteousness in ruins. It's deep, it's weighty. And I held up a stick one day, the first time, and I said, you know, we're all bent. You know, if righteousness is straight, we're all crooked. And then Perot put this together for me. Y'all, this sits in my office. And it's like an art piece to me now, in the sense of, I'm reminded there are no straight branches on the planet, none. As Paul will say, there is none righteous, not even one. And so I look at this and I go, this is humanity, and I'm one of the crooked sticks. I'm one of the unrighteous. And no amount of help from anyone else can make me righteous. And where does it point us, y'all? It points us to the gospel. And so for me, it's been this deepening sense of my fallenness. But it, as Paul will show us, y'all, the deeper you go into the depravity of your fallenness, the richer the gospel. It's not like you go down, stay down. No, it's like, oh my, and oh my, how I, not you, I'm not looking at you, I'm going, I need a savior in the gospel. And I will say, this really shaped my own heart in a good way as I stepped into that passage on homosexuality.
Yeah, me as well. And as we've had conversations with you all, I think this idea of the need that we have, deepening need for the gospel, is what is really standing out to me. And I think God's doing something in our church around this.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about when Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, you know, the people that are healthy don't need a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
It's those that are sick. And Jesus then goes on to basically say, I've come to meet the needs of people who have eyes to see their own needs. And I think about my own heart, and, you know, like many of you, I put my trust in Jesus a long time ago. I know that's not true for everybody in the room, but for a lot of us it is. And I'm seeing my own need deeper and deeper and deeper. And when that's happening in us collectively, when what's that doing is a greater love of the righteous one, a greater love of Jesus. Last week at Franklin campus on Easter Sunday, you know, we did baptisms in every service, just like y'all did here. It was a wonderful Sunday morning, but we didn't have anybody sign up for 7:30. I guess no surprise, you know, 7:30 baptisms, there was nobody. So we had that extra time in the service already sort of reserved for baptisms. And we talked about this ahead of time. What if we just said, is there anybody that happens to be ready to be baptized out there today? And of course, you know, you gotta be careful to do that. You know, you gotta make sure they're really a believer, you know, if you're gonna baptize them. And so I was going back and forth in it. But Sunday morning, I just felt like God said, no, I want you just to ask the question. And I thought, no one's going to come, but that's all right, I'll ask the question anyway.
That's a lot of faith, by the way.
No one's going to come. Well, okay, listen to the story, though. So I got to the end of the message, and I said, is there anybody, kind of like, you know, like almost like a mouse, right? Is there anybody that happens to want to be baptized? And there was a lady right there, and she just went, I mean, it was like up like a rocket. And I was like, oh, really? Like, it was funny. And she started coming forward. Oh, I knocked that over. Thank you. She started coming forward, and she came up. And then we said, okay, you're really eager for this. We want to hear your story. So somebody, one of our pastors met with her in the back room while we did a song. And then she came out, y'all, and told her story. Mm. And this is a lady that has been at the depths of hardships in her life. Some not through her own choosing and some through her own choosing. And she's come in the last, I'd say 18 months, 2 years, to come to know Jesus in a way that is just transforming her from the inside out. And she said, she's like, I didn't know you guys were gonna call for baptisms, but when I came in the church this morning, I said, if for some reason the pastor says, does anyone wanna be baptized? I'm gonna do it, because it's my day. It just shows me, you all.
Yeah.
So God's up to something, and I'm starting to pay attention to it.
Yeah.
And that gets me really excited.
Well, and let me say that happened. That what's happening in my own heart, that if I were to turn the mic over to some, I know everyone's never super glad to stand up and say, man, what's God stirring in your... I know this because many of you told me you'd share what God's stirring in your heart. Do you know that's not unconnected to the building you're sitting in? It's just not. We have space that we have to gather in to do these things, to be equipped in. And so as Rob and I step into what we now call the follow campaign, this is not a bait and switch. I've got a deep conviction around the sense of which your children are in a place that's safe right now. Those of you who have kids, that we're in a room that's air conditioned, roof over our heads. If it was raining, we'd be dry. That for us in our cultural time and context, y'all, you do understand that church buildings, they do, how do we say it over and over? They facilitate the mission. Facilities facilitate the mission. And so it is not unconnected to where we go now, that a woman in the 7:30 service at the Franklin campus would raise her hand and proclaim, I'm following Jesus, and the Spirit would move you to ask and do those things in a place that we can do it. With that said, back in October 2023, we came to the time that we felt it's time to address significant challenges for us as a community of faith, as a church with two different locations of congregations. And the first great challenge for us, we recognized, was that we need space where we can gather more often, and in particular, even on Sundays, at the Brentwood campus. I've said this many times, the original plans for this, and I'm actually looking at people who looked over those original plans 28 years ago, you know, we had a building between the two buildings, but we didn't have the finances to do it, and we pulled it off. 25 years later, we said, it's time to put that there. We look at our Franklin congregation. We are in a lease. That lease has limits. Each time it comes up, that lease can go up, and each time it comes up, that lease can go away. We need a permanent home for our Franklin congregation. So we landed on these commitments for us. One, this space here, one permanent home there. And then we landed on this commitment. And Rob and the elders, as they prayed through this, and it was to say, and we're gonna do this with no debt. Now, I want you to feel the weight of that, because if you look up there and you go, wait, you're gonna build a campus like with land and multiple buildings, you know, that's a large sum of money. And the elders sensed at this time, at this stage of our life as a community of faith, that we would do it without a mortgage, without taking on debt, which I'll say later creates a tremendous opportunity, really.
And I'd say this, you know, we don't have an anti-debt philosophy. We don't think Scripture says no church should ever take debt. In fact, it's been part of our story in the past, but we just felt like we were at a place that God would say, trust me that much. Can you trust me that much? And so that's what we took on. And so in October 2023, we came before kind of a meeting very much like this, and we said, here's gonna cost $30 million to do this, but here's the good news. We already have 15 of the 30 million. We're halfway there. So look on the left, starting kind of at the bottom, we sold some property here that we were never going to use for $6 million. And those are those small little shacks that are being built on the corner now, if you've seen those going up. That was a blessing to us to be able to sell that land. Y'all, we had $6 million in the bank that we had been able to save over 4 or 5 years because we knew this was coming. And then we committed an additional $3 million from our budget. This is just budgeted in, you all, over the course of this campaign. So we were able to bring $15 million. And then we came to you all, the congregation, and said, we're halfway there. Can we get the rest of it? So $30 million project. This is October 2023. Lloyd, tell us a little bit about where we are
now. Well, and also, don't miss $12 million we had. God's provision. I mean, I just don't want us to skip by that. I know many churches, they're trying to raise $9 million to do something, you know, and we God provided that for us. I know $30 million is big, but thank God for his generosity to us. Where we are, some of this we've talked about, $15 million goal, we hit that goal this last January. In October, October when we started, that January, we were just around 13.5, and we weren't at the 15, but since that time, you know, additional families have stepped on, we hit our $15 million goal. Now, also note this, and this is amazing, ahead of God's schedule, but y'all, that $9,600,000 has been given. See, so that's sitting, we have that money, and according to the group we're working with, my goodness, y'all are ahead of schedule on your commitments coming in. Thank God for that. And then also 700 families that we said, listen, we'll put this as our goal. And we weren't at 700 right when we started, but today, 765 households, that's you, that have stepped in to make this 3-year commitment.
So that's the funding side of this. Let me talk about the cost side of this, because if you've ever done an expansion on your house or if you've ever built anything, you know how this works. You want to do the best job you can up front to know what it's going to cost. And that's exactly what we did. And we said, you know, by all the best calculations, I think we went to 5 different organizations or consultants to get price per square foot numbers and other numbers. $30 million was our best guesstimate. No surprise, our best guesstimate was lower, even though we lower than what's actually going to end up being. Even though we intentionally built in some margin in there, there have been some things that have come up that have been real challenges. So this has been an incredible gift of God. I want to talk about the challenges that are before us, knowing that God is continuing to call us into faith. So here are some unexpected costs that have led us to say, we actually know now there's going to be a $6 million gap between what has been committed and what we know is actually going to cost. So that's a big number. And let me talk this through with you. The first thing
talk about too, that we've re-engineering.
Thank you. The first thing we did was we said, what do we have to build and what could we not build? And the reality is most of it, we need to build. The connection space, which we'll also do training, we were able to trim it down as best as we could. But that is a space that needs to be a certain size to facilitate a connection for a congregation this large. The Franklin campus, we were able to trim it down and say, we'll only work on the essentials of this. But those are the two big projects. And we'll talk more about the value engineering in a few minutes. But then, so we decided to cut out what we could cut out and still have a functional space. And then this happened. Construction costs, $2.25 million of the $6 million would be additional construction costs above and beyond the square foot that we anticipated, and that's just rising costs. Some additional Brentwood site work, which honestly was fairly minor compared to the scope of this, which was really good news. We worked that down. But y'all, the biggest one over here in the Franklin City has been wonderful to work with in all that that word implies, and seriously wonderful, also, I mean that genuinely, and some challenges. So for example, one of the ordinances they recently passed requires us to have a sidewalk along Lewisburg Pike on our frontage, even though there's not any other sidewalk along Lewisburg Pike. We'll be a sidewalk that leads nowhere. It also requires us to take the sidewalk to our front door of our property, which as you'll see in the image in a minute, is actually pretty far back on our property. So we'll have a sidewalk that'll be a beautiful walking path for us to enjoy all throughout these 25 acres that we have, which will be nice. The sewage, which we knew we were going to need to extend, we did not know we would need to extend it to the very edge of our property for future development. So we're gonna need, again, required by the city of Franklin to invest in that future infrastructure for other neighborhoods that may come in around us someday, along with some roads and stubs and these kinds of things. And then the biggest one, which honestly, we've been really praying through for the last 3 months is Franklin came to us and essentially said, hey, we have a problem, and that is there's not enough water pressure on Lewisburg Pike because of all the construction that's happened down at Berry Farms, and we don't have enough water pressure coming from the road, from the Franklin water, to be able to have adequate fire suppression. So the solution, as we've worked through this, is we're going to be the proud owners of a water tower on our property. And we're going to be responsible for building that. We've negotiated really well on the size of that. It's not going to be one of those gigantic ones, but we have to have adequate water pressure for the fire suppression. And so the ultimate reality, and I don't say this with any ill will at all, but one of the benefits of being in the city as opposed to in the county, some of these utilities that we didn't think we have to pay for, it turns out we're going to have to pay for them anyway. And that was just part of the negotiation that we had to work with. We're really grateful to be able to be on that property because it's an unbelievable piece of property. But you add all this up and it's a $6 million goal. Now, we're at a strategic place in this project because according to our timeline of our plans, we're at a place where we could break ground. We could start this Franklin property. And so we're a $6 million gap. And so we just said, let's go to God. Let's just talk to God and see what he would do. And I want to tell you what he's been doing and what we are going to be presenting as sort of our plan forward. Before we do that, though, I'd love to show you some images, some design renderings. We won't spend real long on this, just to give you a taste of this. Again, this is value engineered as much as we can, and it's still wonderful. It's still going to be a wonderful space for us. Let me start with the Brentwood campus, and then I'll briefly move to Franklin as well. This is that new building. This is our connection space, which will connect the worship center, which you see on the right, and the learning center on the left. It's designed to be the center point of our campus, which we've never really had. We have visitors that come in and say, which is the real building? Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to tell. This will make that much more clear. If you're curious, that overhead extension will come out about half a car's length. So husbands, you can, you know, let your wives and kids out and then go park the car and get wet, just as you should on this. But it'll be a wonderful welcoming space. Now, if you enter through those doors, here you are in the space itself. A large space, primarily used for just a lobby, for connection. Beautiful thing about this space, though, it's very versatile. We'll be able to use it all throughout the week for classes and events and other gatherings. It's a large venue space. We can fit over 300 people in seats, in round tables. It's over 200 people or 150 or 200 people in round tables. So it's quite a bit of space that we have for this. As you can see, we know some Brentwood Baptist people will come over in their suits and ties to check this space out. We're glad that they're there. Was that too far?
Oh man.
let me show you a different angle.
I'm just gonna let him go with that. Yeah.
Here's from the lawn facing back toward the main door. So let me highlight, these would be the main doors that you'd come in here. You'll notice we've got some classrooms over here. Part of the idea is that we want to do some more equipping classes and other things. So we've got some classrooms built in. And even this space as a whole we'll use for equipping all throughout the week as well. So it's just a very versatile multi-use space, a lot of wonderful natural light coming in from those windows. I'm just so pleased with the way this plan turned out. Let me keep walking you through some other things. We'll have a cafe to the side. This will be available throughout the week for people to come and meet with your small group or one-on-one discipleship. Of course, on Sunday mornings, it'll be available. And if you're curious, hey, I don't think we can all fit in here to get our coffee. Well, we've got these portable coffee stations that we'll bring out into the main area over here as well. If you're curious where this is right near the Learning Center entrance is where this space will be. This is one of the things I'm most excited about, is a very large porch that will enable us to have some kind of indoor-outdoor venue space as well. And just hanging out, I can imagine Sunday mornings on a beautiful day like today, we just spill out on that porch and enjoy that view back there of the pond. I think it's a 25 feet.
Yeah, so the roof goes out 25 feet. So think of that. You know, that's a good space away from the building. 80 feet.
80 feet wide or 80 feet long and 25 feet out toward the lawn. And then one more view you can see from the pond kind of facing back. And I love the way our architects just were able to kind of make this feel so natural. And as Lloyd said, this was a part of the plan all along. We just didn't have the money to do it. And by the way, the same architectural firm that designed the spaces that we're in now designed this.
Let me say a word before you go to Franklin. I mentioned this months ago, but meeting with one of my pastor friends down here, Scott Patty at Community Bible, they built their campus similar to ours in that they had built something, then had to wait and build something, had to wait and build something. He said to me, when I was talking to him about these plans, he said, Lloyd, when we put our space that allowed people to gather, he said, nothing changed the culture of our church family like that space. And I believe him. And I believe with that space, it does change. It just changes the way we interact with one another, especially on a Sunday. Then it provides those opportunities for training, equipping, further teaching, gathering, et cetera, throughout. So it's not just any space, you know, like we need some space to store things. This is a space to live in, and it will change us.
It will. And, you know, we've gotten feedback from people just saying, man, we love fellowship. The one thing, though, it's hard to meet people. It's hard to feel known. It's hard to connect. We are working hard at that. And this is a part of that. It's not going to solve it all with building, but I'm telling you, like you're saying, it's going to make a huge difference on just our ability to feel like we're a community of people, not just individual people coming
what
and going.
What kind of family do you think that is, Rob? They're by the lake.
What do you mean?
What church, kind of family? What church would you put them in? I'm just curious. I don't know.
I don't know. They look a little Presbyterian to me. But no, I don't know. Sleeveless.
Sleeveless. Yeah, sleeveless.
Maybe not. Okay, Lloyd, you're getting me in traps. Okay. I see what you're doing. Okay, let's talk about Franklin. Okay, let me orient you. This is Lewisburg Pike. If you're coming down Franklin from MacHatcher, there it is. If you're coming down from MacHatcher, you go south on MacHatcher. Right before you get to Henpeck, this is this beautiful piece of property. It's about 25 acres right here. It kind of comes up a hill. So from the road, you can only see this house. Mrs. Cross, it lives in this house. She's in her early 90s, and we have told her she's welcome to stay there as long as she'd like to stay there. So we're happy that she is there. When she passes on, then we'll also have this house. It's 10,000 square feet. It'll become adult learning space and office space as well. But let me talk to you about the construction, which is here. You can see we put the parking in the back, which was pretty strategic because we want to protect the beauty and the enjoyment of this lawn space, very similar to what we have here at Brentwood campus. So you park in the back, you'll come up this way. Now, before I show you interior photos, this is the worship center, this is the learning center, but in phase one, we're putting a lot of learning center children's classes in this space here, and then as we grow, we'll be able to expand out the learning center here and here, and then this will become all worship center. So we're designing this to expand over time. And then, of course, in the middle is our lobby connection space. Very similar layout to Brentwood campus. Here's another view from the parking lot area. You can see, again, this is the worship center, which, again, part of that will be learning center classrooms to begin with. And this is that learning center that will expand out as we grow, and then the connection space in the middle. If you're coming from the parking lot, you're going to enter the church this way. There's the primary entrance. Let me take you inside of those doors. Again, the lobby space here, you can see designed just to kind of make your gaze go up, just a very inviting space, similar to the Brentwood campus. Part of the balance that we wanted to have on this design was a sacred space that's also highly relational. Not stuffy, relational space, but also this sort of upward going of your gaze. A children's classroom here that will eventually be removed as we expand, and it'll become bigger lobby and on this side over here as well. The worship center would be over this way to the right. Let's now take you inside the worship center. This is from the stage looking out. Really love how this design has come together. Again, sacred and relational space is what we're really going for. I want to highlight these back walls. These will start as children's classrooms behind those walls. That's what you're seeing now is the phase one construction that we plan to do. And then as we grow, these walls will come out and will open up and expand the worship center. Right now at Franklin campus, we have a little less than 400 seats. This will be around 500 seats in phase one, expanding to about 950 seats eventually. The room you're in now is about 900 to a little more than 900 seats. So it's a very comparable size room that we'll eventually be able to go to. This is another view of the worship center. Again, you can just kind of see a better design or a better angle kind of on some of the design that we're going for here, and a very versatile stage that can be used for a lot of different things, similar to Brentwood campus. This is in the children's ministry area, this is a multi-purpose room that'll be used for the older children on Sunday mornings, Wednesday night student ministry, and then adult classes throughout the week. So a very versatile space, kind of similar to our barn venue that we have here at Brentwood campus. And then you go out the back doors of that space and you're on this fun space in the back, which we'll use a lot on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings as well for kids and students and all kinds of things. So I really love the way that this campus has come together. Again, the idea is, what's the minimum we can do but still have some room to grow, and then how can we expand in the future? So getting that campus on this property without mortgage is an unbelievable opportunity for us as a church. In fact, I want to invite you to see the land. We haven't been able to open it up to the body to come see, but on May 18th, we're going to invite you to come. So just drop by anytime on May 18th, a few Sundays from now, between 4 and 7 p.m. There's the address there, and we'll remind you through email about this as well, but we're just going to have a bit of an open house. No programming, really, but it gets you on the property. Gorgeous piece of property. You can't see most of it from the road, so,
yeah. so people have told me they've gone by to see the property, but they haven't seen the property. They've seen the hillside that goes up, which is beautiful. But then it crests, and the campus will be down below on the backside. So it's a great opportunity to be there. So we said we're going to address this, the whole project. We said we would do it without debt, and now we have this $6 million gap. And I just want to remind us that we believe the Spirit has led us in this, brought us to this point. Rob will catch us up a little bit here in a minute on just way back how the Spirit stirred. But we find ourselves in a place now where it's kind of like, oh boy, we've placed some parameters upon ourselves, and how do we move forward? And I want you to think about how God shapes Christ in us, and how he shapes Christ in a community of faith. And it generally is when he puts us in a position where we have to trust him. Think about the, you know, bringing Israel out of Egypt, and they run into the Red Sea, and Pharaoh and his soldiers are coming, and they're trapped. How are we gonna, did you bring us out here, God, to destroy us? You know, they thought that, and believe me, we've thought that, like, oh my gosh, what do we do now? But no, he put them in that position to show them himself. And in showing them himself, their hearts were changed, their faith deepened. And y'all, this is precisely, we believe, where the Spirit has us as a community of faith at this moment in time.
Yeah, I remember when some of these cost numbers kept coming in, and we're like, all right, well, what can we scale back? And you eventually get to a place where you're like, we can't scale anything back. Like, this is the plan that is really going to serve well for the future. And then we got in a room, and it was, well, number one, we have to pray. And we did. We did, you all. Number two, we said, well, let's just get started. Like, what would it look like for us to get started? And when I say us, I mean it started with our elders. And we said, let's go, let's talk to our wives. Let's just see what God would do as a start to lead the body, to start leading the body. So we went to our elder team, we went to our staff team, said things like, we're all in on this. Let's come all in on this. And then you all, we looked at some, probably about 20, 30 families in our body who had given significantly already to this campaign. And we said, let's invite them in to this challenge. So we gathered with them. And this has just all been in the last 30 days. And we just brought, and you know what we were so encouraged by was when they heard the challenge, they didn't shrink back and say, oh man, that's too big a gap. They said, no, look what God's already done. Let's let him continue to do it. So here's the really cool news. We actually don't have a $6 million gap, because 1.65 has been given toward it in the last 30 days by those individuals, by us.
Y'all,
as a staff.
Y'all, I know, last service was very quiet. Last service was very quiet, and in my heart I went, have we grown numb to what 1.6 5 million is toward a 6 million, you know, it's like, wow. And may I say, it's not most of you in the room that have participated yet.
Yeah. So that has been a huge encouragement for us, so much so that from an elder team, when we're talking about, well, what do we do? Because we're ready to break ground. Should we break ground? And we thought about it. We thought, okay, number one, from a stewardship perspective, we're sitting on
$9.5 million
in cash. It's good stewardship to start this project, because the costs will just keep going up. Number two, look what God has already done on this. Yeah. So here's what we're doing. We're saying we're a good chunk of the way already there. I think that leaves, what's the math on that?
4.35
million. For the next 30 days, we're inviting the body into this to see how far we can get on this gap. And then you all, we've made the decision based on what we've seen God do already. We're going to go ahead and break ground at Brentwood on June 1st because we think God's leading us to do that. And
he's, I can clap
he's
at
making
that too.
It happen. Yep.
I clap.
So June 1st, which is a Sunday, and we'll do a little, you know, we won't be the whole morning, but we'll do a little something in here just to acknowledge that. And then that project will be about 12 months. You know, that's what they tell us to say. It could be a little less, but I shouldn't say less.
I just think let's just say it's a year.
It's a year. It's a year. All right, it's a year.
But then, wait, but think about that. When we break, it's June, it's summer. Next summer, we're walking through that space. Yeah. It's just amazing.
It's going to be very exciting. And then Franklin, based on where we are in that process, the earliest we can break ground there is this fall. So we're going to break ground at Franklin in the fall. And that's a year and a half to 2 years.
Call it two years.
Fine. 2 years. Two-year project, which, y'all, is not that far away. It's just not.
No.
You know, so excited about it.
Our invitation, our call to action, what some have done and what we're inviting the whole body to do. First is, Rob said, pray. And the prayer is real simple, and it begins with gratitude. God, thank you for your provision, and thank you for putting us in this place. He's not caught by surprise by where we are, where we've now got a gap, and we're going to trust him for it. So pray. Number two, we're inviting those who have not given at all to give, to step into the process. I mentioned 765 households have given. There are 1,700 households who call Fellowship home and give. There's an opportunity there for so many of us that haven't given, that didn't give in October and make a 3-year commitment to do that. So if you have not given and this is your church home, I'm not talking to guests. If you visited on Easter and said, let's go back to that church and, you know, let's visit it again. This is not for you right now. But I will tell you this. If you're here and you're a guest and 6 months from now, you're in, you're connected with others, you're in a fellowship group, your children and students, you're being fed here. It is your opportunity to give. It is your opportunity to step. I want to remind us, you know, Paul, when he talks about the body of Christ, you know, universal, but then local, that local expression, how does he describe it? He says it's a body. In Ephesians 4, he talks about the body functions and grows. His words, not mine, when every part does what it's made to do. Y'all, that's every person, every person engaged in doing, participating. It's not when every part does a lot. It's not when every part gives more than they ever imagined they would give. No, it's when every part does a part. And the body functions, the health of the body. And when the church is healthy, that health goes into the community and around the world. And so it doesn't matter, big gift, little gift, it means let's give. Let's step into this together, everyone doing something in giving. Secondly, 765 families made a 3-year commitment. And this is the way that 3-year commitment worked. This was October, and 765 of you did it. And that is, we said, what do you believe you could give over 3 years? And I'm going to use this example. For example, you pray about it. You go, I think over 3 years, we could give $9,000. And so what we asked you to do was, if you wanted to go ahead and make that first gift now, make the gift. If you wanted to wait, then do it over 3 years. So I'll just speak for Lisa and I, okay? Let's just say the number was 9,000, you know. What we did do was that November, we gave our first 3,000, okay? So we gave them 23. In 24, we give another 3,000. In 25, we give another 3,000. Does that make sense? For some of you, you gave your first gift in 24. So in 24, you give your 3. 25, you give 3. 26, you give 3. Here's what we're asking you to do if you've made a commitment. Would you extend that gift by 1 year? So the family that gave 9, would you, and this is not, you don't have to do it now, but would you in either 26 or 27, you know, would you give another 3,000? Does that make sense? So that's what we're asking all who have stepped in and given to do. And I will say this, if we all who've given do that, if we all who call fellowship home participate, okay, it is more than 4.35 million. Mm-hmm. I mean that, y'all. It is more. And there's more we'd like to do, but that's our call to action. Let's pray and let's give. Yeah. And let's all be a part of that. I've got a slide up here with a picture just to show you that when you leave, there's some cards in the back. Grab a card and you can fill that out. You can drop it in the offering. There's some boxes in the back, or you can drop it by the church office. Or what I think the simplest is that you scan the QR code on it, you go online, and you can make your commitment. Again, I want to reiterate, you don't have to give that commitment now or next year. It's by October of 2027, okay, for this, the total of the 6 million. So the big phrase up there is make your commitment by May 31st, 2025. Y'all, we're back in Romans next week. We will remind you of this over the next 4 weeks, but we're not gonna go into, you know, by end of summer, let us know what you're gonna do. We're doing this even in the same way that we've done some other things. We'll say, look, here's a window. Seems a reasonable window. Let's make our decision and we'll keep moving. So I want you to feel the urgency of that you would know and make that commitment by May 31st.
And we'll briefly talk about this each of the next 4 Sundays. I think we should put that thermometer back up there just to track the progress through that to see. And again, what happens if we don't get all the 6 million or now 4.35 million by the end of the month? You all, we're going to break ground. Because God's calling us to trust him on this. And as this project goes, but I pray it's that this month we'll be able to have the confidence that the commitments are there to be able to fund the whole project. So I'm so excited and grateful and just glad for where God has us. And that what Lloyd said about trust, boy, that's been a big thing for me in all this. And God's done something really good.
Well, and it goes back really to generous God.
In spring of 2021, 4 years ago, we had a party on this lawn right here because of what God had done in an unbelievable way for us to pay off a mortgage and give away a ton of money, which was such a fun privilege to be able to do that. And I think that started something in terms of generosity in our body that we're continuing to see that has put us in a position to do this now.
Yeah. Y'all, this part is not mine and Rob's cup of tea, okay, to speak about facilities and funds. But you know what? We're responsible to do that as those who help shepherd this community of faith. And I don't shy away from it in the sense that I really believe facilities do facilitate mission. Not extravagant, going beyond the line, but there's a level of a line that you need facilities in our day and time to live out our mission. I said, Rob, let's wrap up with just a quick word really around the way I phrased it was, you know, and we were just sitting in the room talking about this. I said, Rob, what's your deepest desire? I mean, at the end of the day, yes, we have this, we're calling the body to, but what's your deepest desire for our community of faith? And so I said, why don't you answer that? And he did. I said, let's do that Sunday. So I'll ask.
Well, and I want you to share yours too, but yes. I'll go first.
Yes.
I'll go first. When I think about that, you all, it honestly, it goes back to some of the things that we talked about before we got into all the follow campaign stuff. And that is, I think God's up to something. And I think we're a part of that. Now, I think he's doing something big across the globe. I really do. I think there's a reason why sort of the shallow veneer of the Christian religion is kind of getting peeled back right now. And we all feel that and it feels uncomfortable sometimes. But I think there's a reason for that because there's something deeper and more beautiful underneath that he's calling followers of Jesus too. And I think it's going to look like a deeper trust in Christ, a deeper love of Christ. I see that happening in us as a body. And I think what the world needs is not more, various opinions from a human mindset. They need to hear God's word spoken by his Spirit and being lived out in a people who take it seriously. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is at the very center of this, you all. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of shifted from sort of a fearful posture of what's happening around us to a really enthusiastic posture. Not that it'll be easy, but when I look ahead 20, 30 years, I just see that, guys. I see a deepening in us that's going to be transformative, starting here and then going out. So my deepest desire is that Jesus would continue his deepening, deepening work in us.
Yeah. So when I asked him and he had said, well, I'm going to ask you the same question, that what came to my mind, you all, was I saw my 19-year-old self. I'm 64 years old now. I'm a freshman at the University of Tennessee. I'd newly come to faith in Jesus and the gospel was true for me and I believed it. And when the gospel became true for me, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and so it was college, really. I just had this thought, if the gospel is true, what else is there? Like, what else is more important than the gospel being true? And so I had that on my heart, and I'm one of those guys who, you know, and I'm still this way today. I'm always kind of anxious, but I was always like, God, what's your will? What's your will? I didn't know your will. Should I, you know, you date this girl? God, do I do it? What job do I take? What do I major in? I didn't even know what I was majoring in. But I had a prayer that I prayed. I remember walking the campus of the University of Tennessee, and I just pleaded with God, and I would say, I just want to help people know Christ and grow in their relationship with him. When I am on this campus, I walk usually in the mornings, and on Saturdays, I'm usually here and I'll walk and, you know, it's quiet. And Saturday is my Thanksgiving day. So I'm just walking, giving thanks. And I will find myself walking by, you know, this building in particular. And I think about that prayer as a 19-year-old. And I just go, Lord, I could not have imagined that you would answer that prayer in my life through the years. I never plan on being a pastor, much less a teaching pastor. But I'm just full of gratitude that he's answered that prayer and that I get to help people come to know Christ and I help them grow in that relationship that others might come to faith in Christ. And y'all, I'm still praying that prayer. And I mean it when I say it. That is my deepest desire for our community of faith. Far beyond buildings, far beyond campuses, far beyond my life, that we would be a place where that's happening. And by God's grace, it is.
Lord, when I hear you tell that story, I'm just so grateful for what God did and how he used you and answered that prayer in you and through you.
Yeah.
And here we are. Many of you in the room would say, Lloyd's the one God used to help me come to know Jesus and deepen my relationship with him. Mm. And then there's us, and he wants to do that through us collectively, mm-hmm. not Rob and Lloyd or our elder team, but us, the people of Fellowship Bible Church. Let's stand together because I wanna pray and I'll invite the band to come back out. We're gonna sing a song to close out, but just bow your heads with me. And Lord, as we've been praying already, you know, those of us that have been a part of leading and thinking and asking for wisdom, we continue to pray. And Lord, here's what we would pray, that you be our beginning and our end, that our deepest longing, Lord, you know, is not for buildings or projects or plans, it's for you. So would you deepen your work in us? Would you cause the good news of the gospel to take root even more fully in our hearts so that we would love Jesus with all that we are? Would you teach us to follow you with our whole hearts, holding nothing back, trusting you in every area of our lives because you are the one who provides. And Father, you also are the one who builds. You're the one who sends, and you're the one that gives us the breath in our lungs that we may be proclaiming your name in this place and outside of these walls. So would your name be lifted high here and far beyond. It's in the great name of Jesus that we pray these things. Amen.